your heart beats faster and faster.
Broadcasting live from the 2008 Haunted America Conference, everybody, in beautiful Decatur, Illinois, at the Haunted Lincoln Theater. This ain't your mama's disco, everybody. This is the Ghostman Theme Hour Show.
Ooh, that's right, Paranormal Broadcasting, where we want you to have fun on the ride, but remember to keep your hands and feet inside the car at all times.
That's right, little brother. And of course, guys, we're not live in studio. We are pre-recording this little gem for you. But you know what, guys, we will be back live Sunday in studio.
And you can check it out by going to our website at www.ghostanddemon.com.
And in case anybody was wondering, this is the Ghostman, Sean Bay.
And that would make me Nathan S., a.k.a. the Demon Hunter.
And this is Scott L. from Ghostly Talk.
That would be Scott L.
with the sweet smooches, everybody. And, of course, this is the Friday special broadcast from the 2008 Ghost Conference American Haunted America.
My God, Sean.
Haunted America Conference.
Did you write this down first, Sean?
I'm sorry, June 20th.
Got the date right.
22nd.
Well, this is
the 22nd broadcast.
We're broadcasting on the 22nd.
See, right now you're going forward in time, Sean. You're time traveling.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. I have.
There goes
up.
My plan of trying to convince people that we were
actually there. I just
wanted
to tell everybody it's kind of difficult, guys, when we're pre-recording, because we're actually pre-recording this on the 20th, but you're going to get it on the 22nd. So whenever you get it, it's going to be hot, it's going to be raw, it's going to be Ghostman and Demon Hunter style. You ready for that?
That's right.
No,
and don't forget, the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show is independently produced by Nathan Schoonover and Sean Burris' broadcast. Live on Omnisound, KarmaCast, and I Am Haunted Radio, and is recorded for Paranormal Planet, or Planet Paranormal, excuse me, and Para X Radio.
There you go, you're on it, dude, it's all right.
Once again, guys, we have the Grim Reaper Puppet. If you haven't been out here to the conferences, you haven't seen the G&D show, we got the Grim Reaper Puppet hanging high above the G&D show booth, and we are ready to broadcast. Once again, guys, we're going to send you, we're going to interview for you all the cool cats, paranormal cool cats, that are going to be here at the 2008 Haunted America Conference Tour that Troy Taylor put on. So stick around. It's going to be hot. First up, Spectre Man, the Atlanta-based rock band that's real-life ghost hunters.
That's right, folks. Remember, the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show is beyond the normal broadcast, and it starts right now.
What an excellent day for an exorcism.
Original Bad Boys of Paranormal, and your
hosts
for tonight's show, Ghostman and Demon Hunter.
Yeah, that song never gets old.
Scott L. from Ghostly Talk
ruined
our intro.
Did I squash that?
No, actually, I had you.
You had me out. Thank God. I'll restate it. That song never gets old, man. It's such a great tune. You know, I remember the first time that I heard the song and I thought it was pretty cool, right? Yes. And then Doug, like, you know, from Ghostly Talk, just calling me up, freaking out about how he needed to find out who the artist of this song was, and, you know, just because he wanted to have this song on his iPod, right?
Right.
And that was like 2 years ago or something like that, and it's still going strong. You guys use it for your show now, which I think is really cool. We play it on our breaks every once in a while. It's a really, really cool tune.
Nathan, I just got to say, we got this booth set up. We all set up, guys. Everybody knows the G&D show. Nathan showed up. He set up the electronic portion of it. I did the doll decorations, if you will. I did the puppeteer, I did the big sign and the Grim Reaper and everything else. And, of course, Scott L. joined us tonight, which is golden because we love Scott L. like a brother. He is awesome. Of course, Scott L. from Ghost Talk Radio. But I have to say that
not having sex tonight, Sean.
He showed up with a SWAT hat on, and I'm a little unfocused right now. Because
I threw my cap around.
And, of course, sorry. Nathan S. has got
my cap around now to scare people, make it look like I'm the law or something.
Hello, Clarice. That's all I get to say about Nathan S. He showed up. Okay, guys, I picked him up at the hotel today in Indianapolis, Indiana. And he was wearing his cotton briefs with the drawstring panties and he had on...
I don't know.
Just go with it. Just
They're linen, Sean. Yeah. They're linen pants.
He walked out of the Victoria's Secret strutting like the girl that he is.
But he had that little white cowboy hat on, guys. I thought he was going to eat my spleen with some lava beans or whatever.
Lava beans?
You guys are much more animated than we are, I have to say. I make a dick joke every once in a while. We call that comedy.
Hey, you can't say that on the air.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that.
Wait a second. Usually we're calling Scott L. asking, hey, can we say that on the air?
Mark that down and chop it in the edit, okay?
That'll
Sip it, shock it, send it
5:30, out. At 5:30.
Well, we'll just go every time I tell a bleep joke every once in a while.
All I got to say, guys, is we're bringing the listeners to Fresh. The upfront. We just got here, guys, like 3 hours ago. We set up. Ghostly Talk set up. G&D show set up. Scotty came over. He was good enough to join us with the show.
And you know, Sean, what you forgot to mention to people is, yes, today is the 20th, but we will be going for 2 days here.
Yeah.
We'll be the 20th and the 21st, and then we'll be bringing you everything we got to, everything that we got put together for the 22nd.
Absolutely, brother.
You're talking to people that are actually on the road doing this thing, not people that are complaining on MySpace. I have to
Out
there. People that actually travel and put some sweat on themselves. And some
and of course, we said it one time, guys. We say it again. Scotty, Ghostly Talk, they kind of they pointed us in the right direction. They showed us how to get started, guys.
Straight down.
That's right, straight down. And we are the humble man of the paranormal community.
So are we still, you know that.
But, you know, absolutely. And, you know, Ghostly Talk's out there, guys. And Scotty's a great guy. I love him like a brother, and so does Nate. But we're here.
I'll just say it right now. Scott L. is sitting in Sean's chair, and no one would be allowed to sit in Sean's chair.
Messing around earlier, and I said, let me get up, Sean, and, you know, sit in your chair. But he's like, no, I don't. It's fine.
Because I want to smell his scent.
Can I hit that, by the way?
Yes.
Yeah,
I want to smell.
There's nothing left.
Yeah, right? There's nothing left, but he can hit that.
Spit on the bottom of the
table? No,
we've got a cooler right over here.
Yeah, there's a whole cooler over here.
This isn't like backwash right here?
Because I just want to say, Ghostly Talk.
That's right, paranormal broadcasting, like nothing else out there.
Guys, this is pretty much the first night.
Yes, it's the first night.
Any paranormal conference, and we got
Rosemary Ellen Guiley's right over there.
Yeah, they got Rosie over here. She's wearing a white suit, very hot.
Just like
very provocative.
An angel standing behind
She's
the table.
She's like an angel. I'm looking
Isn't
at her right
she beautiful?
Now.
I tell you, man.
You got to run out and get her books right now and dream about her, because
I
am.
Yes, I do love her. I love her very much.
See, Scott likes to come on our show because he can say things he doesn't say on his show.
Scott be like,
talk really creepy on here and get away with it.
Disregard all the things I said on G&D's show.
Yeah.
This is Ghostly Talk.
Okay. All right. Sorry.
So
what's up, guys?
No, you're serious, Scott.
Oh, Rosemary. Thanks. Rosemary's right next to the Ghostly Talk table.
We got all these fat cats from the paranormal community surrounding us. We got Del Casimir. We got the beautiful Rosemary Ellen Guiley.
Yeah.
We got the cats from,
We have Ken Berg over there, who I accidentally thought was Luke Naborski earlier.
Here she comes. And there goes... She came in here
She's
and knocked
Sean's
headphones
ear.
Off his head, man. What's
I'm so
up with
nervous.
That?
I'm so nervous, Rosemary. I'm like, God, I just can't whisper in my
You're
ear.
You're nervous.
But we got Ted. No.
Oh, my God.
Craig Talesha,
an upcoming author. Strange frequency, guys.
Rosemary, you should have come over and whispered in my ear because I would have gotten it right.
You should. I popped these off. I'm not
blowing
used
kisses
to
Rosemary Ellen Guiley.
Oh, God.
I'm not used to them. But anyway, guys, you got Rosie here. You got Craig. You got all these cool cats that are coming out with these books, man. And we're going to have them
Burns
all.
Patrick Burns is down the hallway there.
You got Patrick Burns, Court TV. Absolutely.
Yeah, so we're having a really good time here. We're hanging out. I don't know, guys. This is really cool. I love, I finished it. Sorry. It was like one sip and chill. I know there's like 20 more where that one came from.
Everybody, if you have a beer that's half empty, don't give it to Scott L.
I just knock it right out, dude, because I'm not supposed to drink it, and I drink it anyways because I don't care anymore.
I can't get my eyes off Rosemary. Look. So I'm saying, look at it.
No, we're having a really good time.
She knows what she's doing.
Everybody's hanging out right now. It's like you said, it's the 20th. of June, the first night of the Haunted America Conference, or the 12th annual Haunted America Conference.
Absolutely.
And it's really great. It's always fun for us all to get together and stuff like this and hang out.
It's a beautiful, look, we got people coming in right now, guys. We got guests coming in to the TT's big event, 2008 Haunted America.
TT,
what do you guys think about this? What's going on?
I don't know, we just walked in.
Oh, come on, let me hear
Then, you can give us a fresh perspective then.
Tell us how much you love the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show.
Just come on, just say it.
We watch it every Wednesday night.
Well, actually, we're on Sunday nights, folks, but that's okay. She must listen to a pre-recording, you know what I'm saying?
We need to put her, on the payroll right now. She's great.
Okay, let's push her off to the side, everybody.
If you don't scoop her up, I'm scooping her up for our show.
She's awesome. She's awesome. Wednesday night.
What's your name?
Kathleen Beckham.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi, Kathleen.
Thank you for embarrassing my friends really good.
I love it.
Paranormal Kathy, that's what I'm calling her. She's a tiger, folks. I can see it in her eyes.
She's a tiger. Thank you. See you guys later. You're gonna harass all the guests here.
Oh, that's the idea. That's why we want to be right here, so as people pass by us, we can pull them to the side.
You know what, though? All the big names run from us except for Rosie.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
I broke the mic.
Yeah, well, you broke the mic.
I know.
Well, this is going off like a hitch, huh, Nathan?
You've got to remember, Scott, we use condenser mics. You don't have to worry about where it points.
Well, if it points...
Hey, you know what? I like that kind of uncomfortableness. That's what radio is all about. Sit up straight. Speak clearly. And don't say, watch the P's and the S's, right, man, like I'm doing right now.
That's right.
The P's and the S's, okay?
P's and S's. But I just got to say, guys, I am the co-host of this show, but Scott L. is in my chair. He's also the co-host of another show. So, you know what? Scott gets to kind of share both.
I ride both sides of the fence.
It's kind of like the Godfather. This is the business
chose. I told you, Scott L. is the founding father.
Every time I get out, they pull me back in.
They pull me back in.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you know, the Godfather walks in and sits down. What are you going to do?
Oh, God, whatever, dude. I don't want to hear this.
Hey, Sean.
Somebody hung a T-shirt up there.
What did we say? A joke it said, it moves on.
I can't help it. This is the business. Remember that guy? If you knew Godfather 2, you had to pick that up.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And I'm sure about 10 listeners out there who... Because nobody likes good movies anymore.
Hey, folks, all I got to know is we're huge in China, so that means Rosie and everybody else is big in China, too.
And Australia. We're big in Australia.
Everybody's big in China.
The Aborigines have been buying Rosie's books. The Aborigines.
If you're from America, if you're from the States and you go to China, you're always going to be big in China.
Absolutely.
Especially if you're the corn-fed American guy like I am. Yeah, you're going to be huge in China.
At about 6 inches. That's all I got to say. You know what I'm saying?
Speak for yourself, sweetheart.
America to you. Let's go ahead, are you taping this, sir?
Oh my God!
Sean,
10 years from now, Supreme Court.
Yes, we will be.
And the evidence is right here.
Wait, I missed that comment before, Sean. I'm sorry. Hold on.
What?
The comments
inches?
Of Sean Burrs do not represent those of Ghostman and Demon Hunter or their affiliates.
Thank you.
Matter of fact, tonight I represent G&D Show and Ghostly Talks. Yes. Scott Elson.
Yeah. So don't. Yeah. Be careful what you say. Well, no, I don't want to know.
So any lawsuits?
I'm still
kind of
burnt.
Sean, since we were talking about the big in China, big in Australia, I got to throw out the International Friends of the Week.
Let's do it.
All right. Starting in the United Kingdom, we have to say thanks to our friends in Burnsley.
Burnsley.
Then we also have to say.
Wait a second. Where's Burnsley at?
Burnsley's in the UK.
Hello, Governor. In Burnsley, is that right?
I'm about to hit the button again, okay. Sean. You're not allowed to do.
Yeah, it's in the UK. It's all you need to know.
Also in the United Kingdom, we'd like to say hi to our friends in Leek.
What?
Leek. Leek. United Kingdom. Okay. I had a tough time telling exactly where this next one was.
We got the Spectrum Man waiting over here.
It's also between.
Yeah, I'm like ready. Go get him.
Neasy and Homelex. France.
Did you say Wheezy? That sounds like a place.
Homelix, France.
I
that sounds like a happen in town. What do you think?
H O M L E U X.
I thought you said Wheezy, like Wheezy George. I'm moving on up.
Okay, we've also got Melbourne.
To the east side.
We've also got Melbourne, Australia, and Grada do Natura in Brazil, and I'm sure I said that one wrong.
Hello, Brazil. Thanks for listening to the Ghostman Demon Hunter show.
Grada do Natura, something like that. Natura. Yeah.
We're big everywhere but the USA.
You don't want to be big in the USA. Everybody's big in the USA.
That's true.
There you go.
So what are we doing next, Sean?
Well, you know what, David Hunter? I'm just trying to take it in, man. We're here at the Lincoln Theater. It's haunted. I'm staring at a picture of Abe Lincoln. They can't keep
again
staring.
Again with the Abe Lincoln,
Abe
Sean.
Lincoln, man. I swear to God, the guy's spooky. He stares at me every time. I'm feeling the energy. You know what I'm saying? I think this is a haunted place. I dig it. And, of course, on the backstage, David Hunter, you know the story as well as I do. They hear the overnight caretaker walking up and down the staircase. They hear the footsteps. A lot of times when the speakers are up there. But, of course, up next, guys, we're going to have Spectrum Men. They're the Atlanta-based rock band that are real-life ghost hunters, guys. And who knows, when they're performing tomorrow night, they just might hear the footsteps of the ghostly apparition seen here at the Lincoln Theater. What do you think, Nate?
I think you're just coming up with stuff there, Sean. I really do. I don't see it happening, but I don't see Spectrum Men playing up on stage and anybody hearing footsteps over their playing on the stage.
I think it's going to happen, because I'm going to stop when they're playing. That's all I'm saying. I'm going to be naked when they're playing. That's all I'm saying.
We got to get another chair, but here, why don't you grab a chair, Sean, and come over here.
Okay, let's take a break, and we'll come right back, everybody.
Okay, we'll take a quick break.
Hey, stay tuned, guys. This is the Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show. Up next, Spectrum Men. Stay tuned. I'll go get a chair.
Hey, this is Nathan S. of the Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show. When we needed a logo that would tell people what we were all about but was different from anything else out there, we went right to Loki Graphics at LokiGraphicsInc.com. We love the artwork that owner and illustrator Jonathan Sullivan came up with so much, we ordered our t-shirts and banners from Loki Graphics right away. They provided us with high-quality graphic art, screen printing, and helped us pick out the best value for our t-shirts and other products that fit our budget. LokiGraphicsInc.com is the official graphic designer and screen printer for the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show. Phone, email, and postal orders are all accepted, with contact information available on their website. Shipping is available for any order, or if you're local, you can stop by the shop and pick up your finished product. Check out Loki Graphics at LokiGraphicsInc.com and tell them the Ghostman and Demon Hunter sent you.
Hi, this is Marie D. Jones, author of Science, P-S-I-E-N-C-E, How New Discoveries in Quantum Physics and New Science May Explain the Existence of Paranormal Phenomena, sold everywhere, bookstores near you. And I love the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show. Those guys kick. Oh, I can't say that on the air, can I? Well, they rock, and I'd marry them both if I lived in Utah. Listen to Ghostman and Demon Hunter.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the 2008 Haunted America Conference, everybody. We are here. We are live. Once again, guys, we are actually pre-recording, right, brother?
That is correct. We are recording for the, June 22nd broadcast
of
the Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show.
I'm going to let you do that, brother, because I messed it up all night. But I got to tell you, I'm very excited. I'm very hot, guys, right now. My shirts came off already. I'm actually sitting here naked because we have the Atlanta-based rock band that are real-life ghost hunters in the house to everybody. I think we're the first ones to have them on. That's what I'm saying. I'm not bragging. I'm just saying I think the G&D show is the first one to have them on. Everybody, I'd like to welcome Spectrum Man in the house. What's going on, guys?
Not much. What's up?
How you doing?
That's it. Thanks for showing up, guys. So this is our first night. We are here in Decatur. You guys are setting up. You got the coolest chick in the world over there, right? She's doing the. She told us before she was going to work our booth for like $5. She was going to wipe her t-shirts and stuff. No, but seriously,
now,
guys.
When she said she'd work the booth for $5, is that why you went out and got the pole to put up in the
little
booth?
I did. But, you know, you got Spectrum in here, guys. Tell us how it started. You guys started out in Atlanta. I mean, what happened, guys? I mean, you guys are cool cats. You started out doing ghost hunting. Then what?
Well, you know, I guess we actually started, I guess as far as the band goes, we've been playing. We started in 97.
Yeah, we started out about 97.
Yeah, and the original, you know, it's the lineup's changed over the years. But,
yeah.
Our guitar player, James Wright, who's actually from Decatur, He actually is. He's been in the band now three and a half years.
Right.
So that lineup is, you know, where we're at right now.
Is that goatee that I see floating around?
That's the goatee guy.
I was talking to him earlier. He said if I got some Kool-Aid in the cooler, then he'd come over and talk to us. So, you know.
Possibly.
He's going now. I see.
Possibly.
So you guys, it was the ghost hunting, right? What drew you to this field of the paranormal? You know what I'm saying?
Mostly personal experiences. We had a lot of personal experiences when we were children.
Who was the first one? Who started?
Yeah, you know, just over the years, you know, like, you know, just messing around, you know, doing things you probably shouldn't be doing, you know, not the smartest stuff.
Did you grow up in a haunted house? Let me ask you that.
No, not really that, you know, yeah. But like, you know, growing up, you being stupid, you know, messing around, you know, seances and, you know, stuff like that, yeah. Ouija boards, and,
yeah.
You know, just having personal experiences. You know, when you're a kid, you know, you're maybe overexcited sometimes, you're not sure if it, you know, if it was real or not, but that's definitely how we got started.
I got to tell you, paranormal, does that have any connection with the musical talent that you guys possess at all? Because I tell you what, I've been investigating the paranormal for 12 years. I can play Blue Moon of Kentucky.
He can play one song.
It's three chords, G, C, E.
I think his question he's trying to ask now is, how does using paranormal, increase his ability to play
yes.
and impress girls and get more dates?
I want to be a Spectre man.
Well, I mean, you know...
Don't lie to me, guys. I need it right now. My nipples are hard.
Just take off your shirt.
Let's Dave and Randy of Spectre Men are about to give us the secret. Dan, I'm sorry. Dan and Randy.
Damn
you. Dan of Spectre Men.
That is right.
You get that close to the mic one more time, I'm turning you off.
Let me pull it back.
I
tell you what, once you see James, our guitar player, you know, play guitar, that's paranormal right there.
I can't wait, guys. I can't wait. But you guys, you know what? When you guys were here, I was actually going to call Troy Taylor the other night, and I said, listen, I got to get these cats on the air. You know what I'm saying? You guys, they rock out. They ghost hunt. I got to have them because you guys possess all the energy that went into the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show. I mean, that's what we start with. We play independent band music. Rock out. We do the ghost hunting thing, the paranormal. And it's cool, man. How'd you guys tie that in with the music?
Well, you know, we've always been fans of, you know, like the Misfits and Alice Cooper.
Social Distortion?
Yeah. You know, we're, you know, definitely, you know, got some punk rock roots in there, you know. And
that and the horror movies.
Yeah, horror movies have played a big part in that.
Can I just
say
Flogging Molly? I'll throw that in there real quick because I'm Irish. Flogging Molly.
I'm Irish as well.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and turn that out real quick. We got another Irishman in the house.
Oh, yeah.
Aaron Gobraw, everybody. Thank you.
Oh, I got to step back. I'm not Irish.
We got a Polish over here.
Give it up.
I'm German and Dutch. I don't see what the difference is.
We'll high five like they did. There we go.
Well, see, the fact that I'm German and Dutch, you really got to worry that I come over and take over your chair now.
That's terrible. That's how we lose guests.
Come on over and sit on my lap.
The Irish have a dispute and say, brother, listen, let's not fight. Let's just go drink and we'll be all right tomorrow morning. You know, that's how we handle it.
So oh, yeah, the Irish don't dispute.
I'm just a dumb Pole. So.
But anyway, man, what kind
that's
of...
That's how he gets out everything.
Hey, what kind of music you guys play? I mean, what's your influences? What kind of bands? I know you just mentioned a couple, but I mean, Metallica?
I mean, it's definitely kind of a, you know, it's. I guess it's more along the lines of, say, like Danzig. You know, there's some of that aspect, you know, there's some, you know.
No more for you, Sean. No more for you.
Yeah, you might want to take away that little green bottle.
There's definitely some, you know, Misfits and, so, you know, like, you know, there's some Cold. You know, just, you know, not only that, though, I mean, you know, there's really our main influences, you know, are really like horror movies. Just growing up with the paranormal, like, you know, that with the fact that, you know, we ghost hunt a lot. I think that, you know, all intertwines with the music together. But as far as the sound goes, you know, it's like Danzig meets Black Label Society, you know, that genre, you know.
I'm more of a Frank Zappa.
We have some real.
It's definitely not that.
We got some real rock songs, heavy songs. We got some slow songs. They all kick.
Got some panty droppers out there, dude.
But there's definitely melody in there as well. But, you know, then it all ties back to the punk rock too a little bit.
Right.
You know, now, are they your own? They're like songs about ghost hunting, or
no? A lot of it's just it's really just a lot like horror based. There's really not anything based. You know, you don't it's necessarily write songs. Not every song is about a horror movie per se, but you know, it's definitely influenced by that.
All I got to say, guys, okay, hats off to you guys because I love you cats. You guys own the market. There is nobody else out there. It's all about new ideas, right? There is nobody in the paranormal community that has done this. So all the way to the top, maybe straight to the top, and the Ghostman Demon Hunter show will help you all the way if we can.
Once you make it to the top, just let us know, and we'll be there to ride your coattails all the way to start. Right.
Thank you.
We'll keep you on the list, baby.
No, man, tell me about your scariest experience. You guys have had to have... Let's start over here, this side.
Wait. Let me...
No.
The one we had together the same night.
Yeah, we can talk about that.
Okay, go ahead.
Scariest, still, okay, I, I'm not,
okay.
I'm,
it's a spooky
personal,
night. It's a sweaty
it.
Night. What are you guys wearing?
come on.
Well, our first album, we recorded a song at the studio. The song was called Netherworld. And we brought it back that night. We were in his basement listening to the song.
Yeah.
And as the song was playing, we heard a woman screaming.
In your basement?
Yeah, in my basement. Came through the speaker, and we rewound the song, and nothing again.
Yeah, nothing happened.
Was it like an acoustic gig or what?
No, it was just.
Ah!
It was like a woman. Well, except it was a woman. And
I'm sorry.
It wasn't a distortion.
She wasn't rapping about anything or anything.
No, it was really weird. You know, it wasn't a distortion through the speakers. It was a scream.
Now, did you record it at all so that you could use it in music later on?
Well, see, no, because we were playing it back, and we heard the scream. So that, you know, we played it back again. Well, we played it again. We played it back again on his stereo, and we heard nothing. And we took it to the car, and we played it again. And it was no scream. But that night, you know, we went home. You know, I was at home, and he was at his house. We both had strange experiences on our lawn. But what was your experience, man?
You said on your lawn?
At night when we were home alone. You know, we don't live together. We didn't live together, but we were in separate, you know, in our own separate houses. Right.
Well, I was still down in the basement. That's where I lived at, where that scream happened.
Was that your folks' house?
It was my parents' house.
Was there a history?
This was a long time ago.
Was there a history of a haunting? Was there...
No.
Nothing? So you guys were just jamming out, and all of a sudden...
Well, we weren't jamming out. We were just listening to a song that we recorded. We recorded it in the studio, like a year prior.
No. It was right after we had it recorded.
Okay.
Yeah, it was right after we had the song.
Dude, that's nuts.
So, and we were just listening to it. We were trying to, I think, get ready for a compilation of some sort.
Yeah, okay. that's what we were listening for.
And the scream happened. So he goes home.
Like a loud scream, like blood curdling?
Yeah. Like, did you hear that? Yeah, I heard it. What did you hear? A scream, a woman scream.
Shoot. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, it gets better.
Shoot.
It gets better.
Okay, so he goes home. I get in my bedroom. It's just, you know, one room away from where it happened. And I'm laying there. I'm just sleeping. And I got one window in my bedroom. And I heard a real loud bang, 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 bang. Got up. I thought, like, somebody was banging on my window. Hey, wake me up or so whatever. I go outside. Nobody.
Okay.
Nobody's around. Come back inside. And, I just left the light on the rest of the night.
What do you think that is, fellas? Do you think it was because your house was haunted? It had some kind of residual haunting or whatever? And all of a sudden it got hip? It came through to...
We don't know.
I never experienced that before in the house.
Now, did you, like, investigate it? I'm not a debunker myself,
but did you go through it?
I'd love to hear that.
Yeah, it was crazy. I mean,
look to see whether or not something happened?
Yeah, I've not had a chance to do that yet.
Can I finish a sentence, Sean? There you go. Okay.
Okay. Same night,
the same experience. Yeah. I was at home in my room, and I'd fallen asleep in my bed, and I was woken up to a loud rapping on my bedroom door. You know, it was just like a bang, 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 and I was like, you know, like what the hell is that? You know. I got up and checked it out, opened the door, no one was there, and I went through the house. Everyone was sound asleep.
That night.
Same night.
And you know, no one was there, and it was just crazy, you know. And then I talked, you know, and I was like, I didn't even know what to think of it, so I just went back to bed. And that was the only thing that happened to me through the night, but I talked to him the next day, and just we had such similar things happen to us after that. It was just really crazy, you know. Now, to say it was a ghost or it was, you know, something paranormal, we don't know that for sure. It was just a really strange something that happened. It was, you know, really one of the... It was just a weird experience.
Listen, fellas, this is the Ghost Man Demon Hunter Show, but we're huge fans of Spectrum Man, right, guys? So we're hearing this story for the first time. So we're loving it. We got you guys live here in studio or on the road, what have you. But you guys are talking about this stuff that happened, man, and I've seen that kind of stuff before. It's very rare. I've been at friends' house where lights have shot around and stuff like that, right, playing with the Ouija boards and everything else. I mean, is that what inspired the band? You guys just said, hey, man, this is crazy. Let's do something with it.
Well, it's definitely, you know, I mean, that has a large part of that, too, you know. We draw from, you know, all sorts of different things, you know. You know, old horror movies, you know.
Science fiction.
The paranormal. You know, we try to intertwine that in our music. So everything is based around that, you know.
You know, I've seen for the last month, brother man, both of you, Amityville Horror, the original one.
Oh,
like,
yeah, yeah.
When we were kids, that's been on HBO like all month long, or Encore or whatever. But I've seen that. Do you guys like watch these movies and then just kind of get you going and then kind of write lyrics or what?
Sometimes.
Because that stuff when we were kids, man, that was the best.
Well, yeah, sometimes, you know, I wouldn't say every, you know, I wouldn't say we have a song that's definitely about like maybe one movie. But, you know, I think we draw from that, you know, and that maybe, you know, has influences some of the music. Most definitely, yeah.
Now, I tell you what, guys, what, when you go up on the stage tomorrow night, I don't know, but you might want to mention the Ghost Man Demon Hunter Show, big fans of Spectrum. I'm just saying, no, seriously, folks.
Just give me a t-shirt, I'll be all right.
Hold on, guys, hold on.
The comments of Sean Burris do not represent those of Ghost Man and Demon Hunter or their affiliates.
You can't hear it, but it's basically we told everybody the comments of Sean Burris do not represent those of Ghost Man and Demon Hunter or their affiliates.
And I'm so. Sean Burris, the Irishman, baby. Thank you. But no, man, this is, you guys are the first ones I wanted. I told Nate right away. I said, dude, Spectrum Man, gotta have him. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, man, we appreciate it, man. Thanks
a lot. No, dude, anything you guys need, man, all you got to do is call us, email us, whatever, 24 hours a day, you're up on a web page. You know,
we'll hook you guys up with some CDs, too, man.
Whatever you want to do, brother.
Hell yeah, man.
I love the stuff you guys are doing. I love the background you guys have. And,
I can't wait to get pinched or slapped in the face when I'm playing drums tomorrow night.
Dude, did you guys hear the story about that?
Yeah, I was in there and I was listening to it.
I took Stacey Kay up there, right? And I was showing her around the back mezzanine and the wraparound staircase and everything.
Right.
They hear that cat come walking down the staircase sometimes during the interviews and stuff. A lot of times during the Houdini interview when they play the tape recorder and the white lights on him. They hear the footsteps coming down those.
Now, who is that supposed to be? I mean, is it someone who worked?
Man, I didn't do my research.
Oh,
there was a fire that broke out.
You've got Spectrum in here, and you didn't do your research.
I did. Spectrum is done with me. They've cut me out, but you still got to go. You know,
okay, which one's Ghost Man? Which one's Demon?
Ghost Man. Which one's good? I'm the good one.
Ghost Man, Demon Hunter. Sean Burris, the Ghost Man.
No, man, but I went back there the other day, and I was looking up those staircases. You know, you don't have that messing yet.
Right.
All these cats that do these shows up here say, man, I heard somebody walking overhead. Well, there ain't none overhead, man.
Oh, it's just a staircase. Which goes
That's
up.
It. It goes up to nothing. That's it.
Creepy.
But anyway, I gotta say, guys, I love you, and anything you guys need, because you guys are pioneers in the field. And
the pink shirt.
The pink
tank top. Yeah, the one we just gotta have my size though.
I'm gonna autograph your.
Actually, you need a little tighter.
I want my nipples to come out. Yeah.
You're gonna cut out on either side.
So when I lactate. Yeah.
So guys, what Spectrum Man is saying right now when they hit the stage live tomorrow night at 7 p.m.
it's not Eastern Standard Time, is it?
No, we're in Central, Sean.
Central Standard Time. When the Spectre Man hit the stage, everybody, they will say that they love the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show, and they're here because they love us, and that's it, guys. That's
it. just so you know, if you've noticed all night, my job is to
sit here. Our guitar player, Jim, he's the real talent in the band, so he just wanted me to say that.
He told me he was going to be on the show.
He's loud and proud. Loud and proud.
I was trying to say, in case you haven't noticed, my job is to sit here and just correct Sean all night. I don't actually get to talk, but I get to correct Sean.
I get to talk to you guys about all the cool stuff that happens. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, real quick, guys, before we finish up, what about the kid stuff? I mean, when I started out when I was a kid, I grew up in a haunted house, right? I grew up in one. At first, it wasn't no big deal. All of a sudden, late at night, you'd hear whispers at the top of the staircase. There was nobody there. Sheets got pulled off beds. Things happened. And it kind of led me into that. My dad was in the Baptist church and all that Bible banging stuff. And I seen an exorcism. I wasn't supposed to see one, but I seen kind of a, whatever you call it, demon extract. Or I don't know if it was an exorcism, but they did something. So it got me into this paranormal field. What would you guys say? Number one, what's the leading factor that got you guys into where you are right now?
I'd say for me, you know, I mean, when I was a kid, I was a huge fan of, like, you know, the Universal Famous Monsters. You know,
Frankenstein, werewolf.
Yeah, oh yeah, you know, and they'd come on, you know, they'd come on, like, you know, Saturday, you know, late night theater, you
Cemetery.
Know. Yeah, you know, I mean,
Elvira.
Yeah, you know, we'd watch Elvira and stuff, but really, the old monster movies, you know, really, really fueled that for me. You know, they got me to buy, you know, Famous Monster magazine, and that's really where we got into a lot of that, you know. And I was, you know, I was a fan of the Misfits growing up, and that all just kind of, you know, really, that kind of drew.
Okay, so we lost power there for a second. Hopefully I'll be able to cut that out later on.
And I think we lost the Demon Hunter, didn't we?
No, I'm the Demon Hunter. We lost the Ghost Man.
Oh, the Ghost
Man. Sean is over there flirting with...
I thought it was me and you. Come on now.
So we were finishing up there saying what had gotten you into it. You were talking about the movies that inspired you.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's really what got us into the whole thing. It's what got me into it personally. You know, but
let's not leave out the Haunted Mansion, Disney World.
Well, that's one of the best.
Well, I mean, it wasn't all horror that got us into the band too. I mean, you know, there's also the other bands that we listened to growing up that really influenced us as well. You know, which, you know, Kiss and AC/DC,
Detroit,
you know,
Rock City.
Yeah, you know, it's just like, you know, and just a plethora of bands, you know, that we grew up listening to, that we enjoy listening to.
Say plethora again. Say it.
Plethora?
Yeah, say it again one time.
Plethora.
Yeah.
Plethora.
Slowly.
Plethora.
Now put the lotion in the basket.
There you go.
I want to wear your skin, Spectre Man.
Well, anyway, that's really what, you know, all of us come from different angles, but, you know, all of us are, you know, everything is based in horror when it comes to, you know, that really sums it up, you know, horror, the paranormal, you know, it all kind of just comes together for us.
I gotta tell you guys, I am a number one fan. I am proud of you guys. You guys have done something no one else has done. You thought of something.
Glad you dig it, man.
And, you know, you're always welcome here. We'd love to get some of your songs to play on the show.
Oh, we're going to hook you guys up with some music. So.
Cool beans.
All right, man. Just as long as I get the pink tank top right
now. Okay, we'll get you the pink. Right. You got a pink tank top.
I'll find it.
Thanks for having us, guys. We appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
All right,
love you guys. Everybody, that's
Spectre Man. That's if you hit me one more time, Sean.
I'm Randy.
That's Randy.
And I'm Dan.
And Dan from Spectre Man.
Hey,
guys, do you have a website that people can check out?
Yes, www.spectreman.net.
Okay.
And you can also, from there, you can go to our MySpace page, and I'll link you right to it.
Very cool.
Hey,
thank
guys,
you, guys.
We love you. And just try to remember us when you're up there on stage with all those thousands of fans screaming and shouting. Just try to remember that, okay?
Well, just give us some stuff, and we'll throw it out.
All right, take care, guys. Have a good one.
Have a good time, guys.
Have a good night, brother.
Thanks for having us.
Sean, why don't we take a quick break when we come back? I don't know who we're going to have next, but we'll have somebody next.
Grab a couple cups of coffee.
Yeah, that's right. All right, guys, everybody out there, stay tuned. That was Spectre Men. And up next, we don't know who we're going to have, but it's going to be somebody hot. From the 2008 Haunted America Conference. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Attention paranormal investigators in New Jersey and beyond. Be warned, this is not a parafest and not a social conference. This is intense. The Paranormal Intensive 2008 is coming to Hackettstown, New Jersey on Saturday, September 20th. This all-day event will offer workshop after workshop to hone your skills and broaden your investigative knowledge of the paranormal. Pick and choose the workshops you want at only $25 each. You can register online at www.njghs.net/paraintensive.html using PayPal, MasterCard, and Visa. That night, enjoy a buffet dinner and spirit circle with Jane Doherty, psychic medium at the haunted Charlie Brown Steakhouse in Hackettstown. This event is $60 per person and includes the dinner, tax, tip, and spirit circle in the private dining room on the second floor of this former hotel where the young, distraught girl drowned in the bathtub and haunts this place to the day. Seating for this event is severely limited, so register online ASAP. The Paranormal Intensive 2008, September 20th, Hackettstown, New Jersey. Be there.
If credit card debt is making your life miserable and you're tired of living from paycheck to paycheck, get ready for a toll-free number that will change your life. Trinity Debt Management has been helping people just like you cut their interest rates by as much as 60% and increase their credit scores by up to 200 points. Trinity's counselors will explain the entire program with no pressure. Call Trinity today at 800-595-0052. 800-595-0052. Get a fresh start. For free information, call 800-595-0052.
Hi, this is Jeff Belanger with GhostVillage.com, author and lecturer and all-around weird guy. And when I'm not out ghost hunting, I'm listening to the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to day two of the 2008 Haunted America Conference put on by Troy Taylor. And we are here live in beautiful Decatur, Illinois at the Haunted Lincoln Theater.
Decatur, Illinois. Yes, with all the big wigs in the paranormal community wandering around, chatting. We're sitting right here in the lobby right now watching everybody talk with the presenters. And
mingling.
It's like a party.
Rubbing shoulders with the fat cats in the paranormal community.
And we are here right now with Dusty Smith. You may have seen Dusty on a haunting in Florida.
Haunting in Florida.
Discovery Channel. Dusty, welcome to the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show.
Thanks, guys. It's nice to be here.
Well, it's good to have you. Now, I have not yet seen that, but I'm a huge fan of the hauntings, especially, you know, like the Haunting in Connecticut was one of the first ones I seen.
Right.
With Carmen Reed, of course, and stuff like that. Now, you were the, could you tell us a little bit about the history of the haunting in Florida?
Sure. It actually was an 8-month-long case that we worked. Started out pretty much as a Friday night cocktail party joke, you know, ha ha ha, my house is haunted.
Right.
But within 8 months' time, we actually videotaped a couple's infant daughter being attacked in her crib by one of the entities one night. It became a very dangerous situation in the house. A lot of interesting things about the case, including the fact that we had the four basic types of hauntings going on simultaneously in the house in different locations.
Four different types?
Yeah. There's the four basic types of hauntings, of course, are residual hauntings, intelligent hauntings, poltergeist, and then demonic. Out of the close to 6,000 cases that the Daytona Beach Paranormal Research Group has worked, we can honestly say that this is the only demonic case that we've ever run across.
And there goes my next question. I was going to ask, was it demonic?
Yeah.
Because they had them all. They were getting hit from all sides.
Yeah, it was. And it was that was the hardest part to deal with. You know, because residual haunting is something people just learn to live with.
Right.
Intelligent hauntings, you know, they learn to live with them or they help them cross over to the other side. Same thing goes with poltergeist. When it's a demonic haunting, it's a pretty nasty thing you're dealing with. The family did manage to survive and get out of the house.
What was it doing to that baby in the crib, you thought?
beating her. Beating her. Wow. Actually beating her. You know, the mother wondered why she had bruises, but, you know, she was at that toddler stage where, you know, they take a few steps, fall, and they bruise, you know, and it's, you don't think much of it. One of the other interesting things that occurred in the house was sound manipulation. We actually have a video clip of they had just gotten a puppy, and we were out behind the Florida room or family room of the house,
right,
investigating a section in the backyard when, with video running in the family room, the puppy came in, and you could see him barking. We could hear him from being outside barking,
right,
but when we played the tape back, there was no barking on the audio. I mean, and this happens on several occasions in the house. The night that the baby got attacked, there were 8 people sitting in the living room of this house. She was literally 15 feet from us. We had the baby monitor sitting next to us. We never heard peep one out of this kid. And when we watched that video, she was screaming at the top of her lungs to the point that she literally cut our microphones out. And it was the next night we got the kid out of the house. So,
wow. Wow. What do you think about? I mean, you guys did the haunting in Florida. Now, did you cut when you did that? Did you do a write up and then all of a sudden Discovery Channel heard about it and they did the thing? Or
well, I had written a book about the case. Really didn't plan to do much with the book itself. It was more or less to help me get it out of my head. It was
right.
Very emotionally and psychologically disturbing case. You know, and I felt that maybe other people going through similar circumstances would benefit from it, whether it was a family or other investigators. And I've had so many investigators contact me after reading the book saying, look, you know, because it's a case study. It's not a open it up and it's a ghost story book. It is a case study from day one, log files, audio files, the whole nine yards.
Right.
You know, and it takes you from point A to the close of that case. So it's a very different aspect. And New Dominion Pictures, one of their producers, actually picked up a copy when she was out at a bookstore somewhere, read it from cover to cover in 3 hours, and said, oh my God, we've got to do this
right.
story. Which is why they approached us about it. And before I even said yes, I contacted family to make sure that it was okay with them first.
And you know, I can't even imagine being a father too. I can't even imagine something like that happening to my kids. I mean, that's the worst case to be on. You as a paranormal investigator had to experience that with it. I mean, and everything going on, and you're powerless.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you do in a situation?
Yeah.
Now, Dusky, you were saying that there were 4 different types of hauntings going on. Do you think that these were all aspects of the fact that there was a demonic haunt? Do you think it was causing these 4 aspects, or that its energy there was just making those 4 aspects more powerful in the house?
Well, I think 2 of the intelligent hauntings were actually trying to help or protect the baby. We did manage to get several pieces of audio that sounded very protective of the baby, trying to quiet the baby, calm the baby, things like that.
Right.
A couple of pieces where there were singing and things like that, trying to calm the baby.
Yeah.
The residual haunting, that's, you know, a whole other story. But the demonic haunting, once that took root, I think that's when more things attached themselves to the house, because it exploded at that point. And the guy that was renting the house, the family, the husband, he was retired Army Ranger. And for him, with 4 kids,
right,
to feel powerless was ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, they went from being this absolutely kind, loving, doting couple to him being on guard 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, trying to protect his family, and nothing he could do or nothing we could do seemed to work or help,
right,
until we finally got them out of that house.
That's neat. Like,
yeah,
you said, he was a retired soldier, right?
Yeah.
And you're out here on the front lines, the paranormal investigators.
Right.
A lot of people don't know, but you're in the trenches in the dark on the front lines fighting these forces sometimes. A lot of people, I tell you, man, they take it for granted. I've heard a lot of people that, you know, that doesn't happen. So I realized when I started doing this that every day people live with this kind of stuff.
Yeah. You know, even though we call them our clients, you know, you have to understand that people that experience hauntings in their homes, they're victims.
Right.
You know, these are, it's just like a burglar breaking into your home.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the people that go through these types of experiences are victims. And I think we need to have some sort of network for these people to click, you know, to get together with one another, to help counsel one another. Because, you know, they obviously can't call their friends, their neighbors, their co-workers, because, you know, if you told this story to anyone, they'd say, oh, my God, you're crazy.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and we even managed to get a photo of what we believe to be is the demon standing right behind the
baby. What's that look like?
It looks demonic. It's a very reptilian-looking head with horns coming out of the sides. It looks to be about 9 feet tall, and it's standing behind the baby, watching the baby in her Halloween costume one night.
Wow.
Dusty, this isn't paranormal, but can you just get closer to the mic there? Because I want to turn down our gain a little
bit. Okay, I'm sorry.
No, that's good.
These conferences, everybody talking in the background, it gets hard sometimes.
Yeah.
But I got to tell you, Dusty, the haunting in Florida, now that's, how many years ago was that?
We worked that case in 2001, 2002.
Okay. And how long? Did you say 4 months, right?
Eight months. Yeah.
They had to exhaust you mentally and physically.
I got to the point with the case where I literally did not want to go back to the house. And towards the end, we were basically there 7 days a week, spending the night every night.
Family
know, trying
had
to
love
help
that.
This family.
Yeah.
You know,
now,
they
what
could
kind
finally
of
sleep.
What kind of equipment did your people bring in with them when they went to this?
We brought everything. Pretty much everything we have now is because of that case. You know,
right.
We started out, you know, pretty modestly with a couple of digital voice recorders and analog recorders, you know, laser monitors, things like that, 35mm cameras. But then we added so much to our arsenal, everything from CO2 detectors and barometric pressure meters and, you know, whatever we could just to see, was it something natural or man-made at
right.
this location causing what was going on? And, you know, we kept hitting brick walls. Even when it came to digging through the history of the property, we kept hitting brick walls. Nothing made sense with this particular case. And the other interesting but not so great thing about this particular house is it's a rental property. And the gentleman that owned it at the time, you know, he was asked flat out, is there something in this house that's going to harm my family? And he said, oh, this house isn't haunted. You know, and the guy says, well, I didn't ask if it was haunted. I said, you know.
Right.
You know, but anyhow, he still owns the house. He still rents the house. And he still rents the house to families with children.
Have you got in there to get to talk to any of the new people?
A couple of them. The first family that moved in after the Dunhams moved out, they were setting up for Christmas, and a brass candle holder flew across the living room and hit their 3-year-old in the eye, almost took the kid's eye.
What's
out.
The deal with the kids, man?
I don't know.
Now, do you think that locations can be demonically haunted? I've always wondered about the prospect of there might be a gateway, but demons don't really haunt houses, they haunt people.
Well,
so do you think that this place is kind of a gateway to come through?
One of the things that we discovered with the case was, and this is going back to Native American belief system, when we were taking photographs, we kept getting an upside-down rainbow over the peak of the roof of the house. And it was driving me nuts what the heck this rainbow thing was all about. Well, through doing a lot of investigating and watching a couple of shows on photography, come to find out that Native Americans believe that there are portals that these negative, nasty entities have come through. And when the rainbow is upside right, the portal is shut, and there's supposed to be a guardian protecting that particular doorway or portal. When the rainbow is upside down, that particular guardian that's keeping the doorway or the portal shut, for whatever reason, is no longer there. So pretty much anything can walk through.
Right.
We believed that it was initially attached to the baby. But, you know, we say it's demonic, but I hate to use that word because it's a very misunderstood word, and there are so many other aspects to it. Could it have been an elemental? Yes. Could it have been just a very negative energy, you know, like a thought form type energy? Yes.
Right.
But
and that's awesome you say that, Des, because...
Yeah, I think it could have been something along the lines of something that could have been passed. Like,
which, right, that's another possibility. And absolutely another possibility. The only reason that we wound up using the word demonic with this particular case is a couple of my peers that I had shared information with, because we were at a loss. You know, I thoroughly admit that.
Right.
You know, when I shared the information with them, you know, they all went, oh my gosh, this is demonic. You know, we've never seen one, but all of the things that you're telling us are falling into that category.
Sounds demonic, yeah.
You know, so that, you know, and we don't ever tell our clients that. Because if, you know, if you go to your client and you say, you've got an evil demonic haunting,
right.
It sets up a very bad psychological downward
spiral.
Oh,
you're hurting them more than helping them. They're scared
exactly.
to death, yeah.
So we usually say you have a negative presence.
Now, hey, Dust, I was going to ask you, are you a psychic investigator? Or
no.
Are you just an old school sawdust?
At the time, I was very old school. Actually, Troy Taylor is the one who is my mentor. Since then, I've gotten certified through Femel College and Paranexus.
Right.
You know, and several other courses that I've taken over the years. I'm also a member of the Tapps family. We've been with them since 1999. We've been area reps for the AGS since 99 or 2000 or something. You know, so I've been trained and mentored by literally the premier folks in the field. And I appreciate that education, you know, because when I was coming into this 15 years ago, there really weren't too many women in the field that were being taken seriously.
Right.
And, you know, this was our Super Bowl case. This was the one that put us on the map, unfortunately.
Right.
Because, you know, I really hated what that family had to go through. But, you know, it worked out to a good resolution. Emily doesn't remember anything about what happened to her. And the book, part of the proceeds from the book, I actually set aside in a trust fund for her that in case when she hits puberty and all this stuff comes out psychologically,
right.
You know, and she needs therapy, the money will be there for her.
That's awesome.
And if not, then she's got a nice little college fund. So,
Now, Dusty, I have a two-part question here before we wrap up because we know we all want to get into the lottery.
Okay.
Question number one, what are you going to be speaking about here today at the conference?
We're going to show the episode from the Discovery Channel series, The Haunting in Florida, and then we're going to have a Q&A after that. And anybody's welcome to, you know, ask whatever they want about the case.
Okay, number two question, before we wrap up here, what did you think about the girl that played you on the Discovery Channel?
Well, she had a nicer house than me, a lot nicer equipment and laptop, a better car than I had, and I do not answer my phone. Yes, yes, yes. Okay. Yes, I'd like to have her boob job. I'd also like to have her waist, but you know what? I'm about being real and honest, and you get what you get.
Hey, folks, that's Dusty Smith.
Thank you so much.
And what's the name of your group, Dusty?
The Daytona Beach Paranormal Research Group.
And where can people find that on the internet?
www.dbprginc.org.
All right,
and everybody,
Dusty.
That was Dusty Smith from A Haunting in Florida. She is a pioneer to all the women out there in the paranormal, guys. So keep on doing what you're doing, Dusty.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Dusty.
Bye-bye.
Hey, Sean, we're going to wrap up right now for a quick break. When we come back up, hey, we don't even know who we're going to have yet. We could have one of these paranormal bigwigs coming by, or we could have just somebody sit down who is enjoying the conference, tell us what's going on next.
Absolutely.
We love you all, and we'll be back after this.
Stay tuned,
thanks,
guys.
Thank you so much, guys.
Experience the charm and mystery of the Deep South through ghost stories by attending the highly respected Roswell Ghost Tour. Your experienced guide will lead you on this two-hour outdoor walking tour through the historic district of Roswell. One of the highlights of the tour is a visit to Founders Cemetery, the burial site of Roswell King, where bodies are buried beneath modern streets and houses. Grand Greek Revival mansions and humble mill workers' apartments are some of the haunted sites you'll see on this mile of easy walking. Check RoswellGhostTour.com for the current schedule. Tours run most Friday and Saturday nights year-round, and private tours may be arranged. Reservations are required. Call 770-649-9922. That's 770-649-9922 for more information. Happy haunting from Roswell Ghost Tours.
This is Troy Taylor of the American Ghost Society, and I love listening to the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show.
Team of investigators.
That's freaky.
It came from behind you. How the heck did it come from behind you?
To make that kind of shadow, there is no... The only light is from that way.
That was amazing. There was no light. The camera is facing the same direction it is now. It couldn't have been. I mean, there could have been no shadow passed behind. Unless it wasn't something that normally creates a shadow.
Well, you know what? I don't know what to say about that. I mean, I can't explain it. That was weird.
That's the spirits of the Rockcliffe Mansion. Seeing is believing.
Buy online. shop.ezproductions.net.
Hi, this is Rosemary Ellen Guiley, and you're listening to the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show.
Everybody, and welcome back to the 2008 Haunted America Conference, guys, here in beautiful Decatur, Illinois. We're at the Haunted Lincoln Theater, and we got special guest, Nathan.
It's Patrick Burns, Sean Burns. That would be Patrick Burns.
It took a little over a year, guys, to get him out of here, but we got him on the show now, so we had to run him down. We had to promise him big money, which Nathan will pay later.
Oh, right, yeah, yes. Out of that big Ghost Man and Demon Hunter budget we got.
Yes, because everybody gets into this field because it is so lucrative.
Oh, yes,
there's so much money to be made in this field.
People actually think, Patrick, that there is money to be made
in this field. And everybody thinks that because I'm on a television show that I'm living in a mansion in Malibu.
What?
I'm like, give me a freaking break.
Yes, it's a mansion in San Francisco.
Yeah, right. No. It's a mansion at the Pleasant Hills Trailer Park down the street. You know.
Looking for a roommate? Now, Patrick, of course, you've got the haunting evidence on True TV right now.
Court TV.
Formerly Court TV.
Checked it out there, and now it's going to be True TV, coming out with 4 new episodes in October.
That's correct.
Yep. All 4 of them are high-profile cases that we filmed earlier this year.
Yes.
So, fingers crossed. You know, I know a lot of people out there are asking what happened to the show. They think that it was canceled. No, that's just, we're in hiatus right now because of the crossover to the new network. And it almost seems like they're almost going to be treating it like it's a new show because, you know, these are 1-hour episodes, whereas the show traditionally has been a half-hour format. So
now, for our listeners and for the people that have lived in the dark apparently for the last 5 years, can you tell us about Haunting Evidence, how it started, and what it is?
Haunting Evidence, it's a show I work alongside a pair of psychics, mm-hmm. and what we do is we investigate cold case homicide and missing persons cases, and we try to reinvigorate or try to warm up these otherwise cold cases using non-conventional means, using psychic impressions and interpretations.
Right.
And my role within the program is primarily to let John and Carla know if they're really onto something. You know, if the psychics are picking up on something and all of a sudden there's a huge temperature spike, you know, we might interpret that as a clue, a signal to us that we're on the right path, that we're going down the right.
So you do the tech side of it.
Exactly. I like to refer to my role within the program as technical support.
Technical support. You know what, though? It was a great pitch. It's a new idea, the Haunting Evidence. It was two psychics, and you were doing the technical side of it. And everybody's seen the show. It's great. It's a hit.
Thank you so much.
Oh, I love it.
I'm proud to be very associated with it. And, you know, it's a really unique opportunity for me as a paranormal investigator to lend my abilities to basically, you know, investigate crimes, unsolved crimes, and possibly in some small way contribute to helping these crimes get solved. I mean, obviously, I never got into ghost hunting for with the intent that it would ever be applied towards law enforcement.
Right.
But having this opportunity to be able to do this is just it's a huge honor. I'm very proud of the show.
Now, Patrick, I remember watching the first episode when it first came on. How do you think, besides being now an hour, how has the show grown since you first started doing Haunted Evidence?
Well, I think that, the show is the first season or so, the first few episodes that we were doing, we were still trying to find our sea legs, not only John, Carla, and myself, but the production crew as well, and the network. We're all sort of, trying to see what the format of the show was going to be. Essentially, though, when you look at the show, when you look at the first episodes we did 2 years ago, compared to now, the format of the show has pretty much stayed the same. You know, it starts off opening up with the backstory of the investigation for a few minutes, giving, you know, the history of the case, and then, you know, predictably 3 or 4 minutes in, it's usually me driving the SUV in with John and Carla. So, you know, we definitely have a format that we've stuck with over the years. The look and the feel of the show is pretty much going to be the same, except now it is a half hour longer. I have not seen any of the new episodes, any of the new cuts yet.
You've got to find a way to fill another half hour.
Right. Well, you know, a lot of people have been clamoring for more of, you know, what I bring to the table, more of the technical aspect of paranormal investigation. I'm actually hoping for that as well, to be able to, you know, hopefully they'll give me a little bit more time to explain what it is I'm doing, what I'm looking for, why I'm setting these sensors in this particular location.
You guys working on like a Halloween special coming up, you know, around that time of year? You can't say, Katie, can't.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I mean, the four new episodes I have been told are going to air this fall is what I've been told from the network. I've heard it through the grapevine that they're shooting for an October premiere for these 4 1-hour
episodes. And we all know that October in the paranormal field is sweeps week.
Of course it is. Yes, it's our Christmas season. So we'll see what happens from there on out. None of the episodes really have been done as a Halloween special, although I would love to do a revisit to the Villisca Axe Murder House.
Yes.
We did that for season two. The backstory for that is kind of interesting. The producers came to me at the beginning of season two and they said, "So Patrick, can you name any locations that are supposedly actively haunted with a cold case attached to them?" And I, you know, most people would obviously say the Lizzie Borden house, but that's been done to death, pardon the pun.
Yeah.
I said, you know,
40 times.
Yeah, at least. At least.
40 wax.
I told them, I said, you know, okay, yeah.
Yes, Sean, we got your joke, Sean. We got it the first time, Sean.
Patrick Burns did not laugh at my joke.
That's okay. I did. I am smiling. But they asked me, they said, you know, any places you can name? And I said, yeah, the Villisca Axe Murder House. And like so many people, they've never heard of this. And they said, what happened there? And I'm like, oh gosh, the 8 people, family of, you know.
What happened there? I would think the name said it all.
Yeah,
the
exactly.
Axe Murder House.
Exactly, yeah. 8 people, 6 children, killed in their sleep by somebody with an axe, and it's still a cold case. They're like, wow.
They never found the cat.
No, they're like, when did this happen? And I said, 1912. And they're like, no. You could just see this the excitement just faded away. They're like, Patrick.
Not going to crack this one.
You know, unless it was ostensibly, it was 95 years ago, I guess it could have theoretically been committed by a 10-year-old child who would be 105 now, you know, but it's safe to say that whoever did that.
Do you think if they arrested him finally, he would get life?
Yeah, right.
No, honestly, guys.
Afterlife.
With the Lizzie Borden house?
You get charged with afterlife.
You guys, with the Lizzie Borden house, do you think she really did it? Was Lizzie Borden guilty?
I don't know. You know, I don't know enough of the backstory there. I've never really investigated it too much. I know the basic premise of it, but you know, it's always going to be a question. It's never going to be solved. And the same thing is true with the Villisca house. They said, Patrick, we can't do an episode about this. It's 95 years old. There's no law enforcement to interview, which is one of the staples of the show. We like to talk to law enforcement.
Right, right.
There's no surviving family members even that were, you know, nobody alive even. Or anybody that's alive when that happened 95 years ago is 95 years old themselves. They're not going to remember any details of it.
Absolutely.
So they didn't think initially we could do an episode around it. And then they kind of tossed it around and they looked into it a little bit more and they were like, this is really an intriguing story. Actually, I think we can do an episode with this. And, you know, it is a horrendous crime. It's a horrible crime. But, of course, we still have to have, you know, We have to be respectful and mindful of not only the victims but their families.
Sure.
But because of virtue of the fact that it happened so long ago, because of the virtue of the fact that the house is now basically a museum.
Okay, that's what I was going
to
ask.
We were able to have a little bit more fun with the episode, but, you know, and be able to play up the haunted aspect of it a little bit more than we would be able to do with, say, a more fresh case where, you know, there's sensitivities of family members, you know, that still will be alive watching the show. So we were able to have a little bit more fun with it. And if we ever do a special Halloween episode, I'd love to go back there. I'd love to get back into there.
Oh, yeah.
Because the activity in that place is crazy. We had some amazing stuff happen
there. It's
too
haunting
there, then.
Now, Patrick, is your show ever looking for any comedy relief? Because the Ghostman and Demon Hunter are always looking for
a you know, that's the one thing that you will never see on Haunting Evidence. It's a very serious show because these are Now, I tell people, I mean, these are real life horror stories. You know, these are personal tragedies that people have, had to endure, and we have to be sensitive not only to the victims but especially to their families.
Absolutely.
Because the families are really the true victims in murder, in homicide, because their pain is never ending. Even if they find the perpetrator who did this, to live with that the rest of your life, that one of your loved ones was taken by the hand of another person, you know, you can convict the guy, you can sentence them to death,
right?
But there's never true
no comfort.
Closure. There's never complete comfort.
Right.
And so we have to be, you know, there's it's a very serious show.
Hey, Patrick, I got to ask you real quick.
Yeah.
Everybody knows Patrick Burns, the famous cat. But I want to go behind the sheets, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Under the sheets, behind the sheets.
Okay.
Behind the scenes, I'm sorry. And see what I did there?
Yeah, I did. Yes, yeah, Sean.
I want to find out, what was it? I mean, you didn't always think you'd be on TV, of course. You started out as a paranormal investigator. Could you just kind of go from there, how that all happened? Or
yeah,
what?
It was, I founded Ghost Towns in 2001, based in the Atlanta area. And back then, there were only a handful of paranormal research groups in the whole state of Georgia, maybe four, five tops. Only one or two, which were at the time actively investigating. So I kind of filled the void of one of them that went defunct, the Georgia Haunt Hunt Team, which used to be a representative of Troy Taylor's organization, the American Ghost Society. They went defunct, and I kind of started Ghost Towns to fill the void that was left by the disappearance of this group. By this group drying up, okay. We kind of came in to fill the void and kind of recontinue
so
the
you
tradition.
Founded it. You founded it.
I founded Ghost Towns back in 2001. And at the time, like I said, there were very few groups around. And almost from the get-go, I started getting inquiries from the media. Okay, and we're still talking, this is a good 2 or 3 years before Ghost Hunters broke through and
right.
Paranormal became this big thing on TV. But I was starting to get these media opportunities to be, you know, to do a soundbite for the 10 o'clock news in October,
right.
Do a soundbite for CNN, do a soundbite for headline news.
Did you ever get on there where they play Ghostbusters in the background?
Of course. Who are you going to call?
Patrick Burns.
Was always the way, you know, and I came to accept that, you know, because
yeah.
It is Halloween, and that's how most people view us.
Yeah.
But what I ended up doing was I would take these clips, these video clips, and I would upload them and put them onto a press kit section on our website. Well, in June of 2005, I got a phone call from a production company in New York City. I never answered a casting call for this show. They came to me. They sought me out. They said, we're doing this show called Haunting Evidence. The premise of the show is reinvigorating cold case homicide and missing persons cases
right.
with two psychics, and we're looking for a technically minded ghost hunter to round out the cast. Would you be interested in this? And I said, sure.
Now,
I said, okay.
Now, Patrick, did you ever work with psychics before you started doing this?
That's a very, very good question. I actually had not. This was the first time. You know, I was of the belief, I'm like, well, psychics, I believe in that ability, but it's always subjective, you know?
Yeah.
But my eyes were kind of opened that same summer, just before I was cast, and somebody said to me, you know, actually a psychic, can, if you treat them like another piece of equipment, and the psychics that I work with now, I refer to them as tools.
Yeah.
I say, you're a tool. You're a tool, Reese. And they always get a kick out of that. But if you basically treat them like another apparatus that you use within your investigations, if the psychic tells you, I'm sensing activity over in this area, there's a good place for you to concentrate your equipment on.
Right.
And your equipment actually picks up anomalous activity there. The psychic it's a win-win situation. The psychic can tell you where to concentrate, where you're probably going to find activity, and your equipment, if you pick up activity, validates the psychic. So it really
sure.
becomes a win-win situation.
And you get it from both sides. You get the psychic overview
right.
of what's going on, then you get the technical side.
And Sean always likes getting it from both sides.
Yes, yes I do, folks. Whatever. But anyway, Patrick, you started Ghost Towns.
Yes.
And going back to that, I'm going to ask you this about the show, too. Your strangest experience as a kid, as a man, whatever. The craziest thing you've ever seen before the show.
Before the show.
Yes.
I've seen full-bodied apparitions on a handful of occasions.
Is coming from somebody that's not a psychic.
Right. I had you know, one of my best stories was the first full-bodied apparitions that I saw. I was living in Wisconsin at the time. This was the early to mid-1990s. I was staying over at my parents' house, sleeping on the sofa in their basement. And I woke up from this very, very, very deep sleep. And I opened my eyes, and standing 5 feet away from me was a woman and a little boy standing over me, watching me sleep. And I started to kind of... I'm sorry?
In the basement.
In the basement. And I started to come to, and once I realized that I noticed them, first the woman turned, and then the little boy turned, and they faded away. They walked towards the furnace room and faded away. And I'm like, okay, that's a little
weird.
Did
they look like me and you?
Yes. Yes. They looked very solid, not giving off any of their own light. It was just the ambient light coming from the bathroom door being cracked.
Black eyes. A lot of people say they're black eyes.
Yeah, you know, they were in silhouette, and I was very... drowsy still at the time. And of course, the cynic says, well, it was a remnant of a dream that you had had.
You know better.
Well, I do know better, and there's an interesting twist to this story, is that I ended up dating that woman about 3 months later. She had about a 10-year-old son.
Was it your hair, Patrick? Was it the hair that made her attracted to you?
I like Patrick.
It might have been. I wasn't gray back then.
I just got to say, though, anybody who has seen the pictures of Patrick, his hair really is that cool.
It
is.
Folks.
Yeah. I get a lot of compliments on the hair, but back then I still had all of the pigment in my hair. It was dark brown. The funny thing is, I dated this woman.
The ghost.
I dated her for about 3 months or so, and then we split up. She was recently divorced and had kids, and it was doomed from the very beginning. But we had a good time while we were the short time we were together. And it was about 3 months after we had broken up that I started recollecting the dream and started remembering some of the details. And I concentrated and I focused on her face a little bit. I was like, oh, my God, that was Patricia that I was dreaming about. I didn't get such a good look at her face, but I saw the little boy's face very vividly. And I finally put two and two together. It was Patricia. And her little boy.
She had a kid.
She had a child. She had a boy who was about 10 years old. And 3 months after we broke up, finally, I started to put the pieces together. And that dream, that vision that I saw that morning was a premonition of what was going to happen. I mean, because people have asked me, you know, do you believe that the living can manifest as ghosts,
right,
quote,
right,
unquote? And I said, yeah, I've got a story for you. You know,
wow,
I dated
wow.
one.
So you think you just picked up on that?
I do.
Was it like astral projection? Maybe she's...
It might have been an astral projection in their sleep, you know, maybe perhaps they, you know, they were connecting with me on some sort of a cosmic level. Maybe it was just a glimpse on my part into the future. Now, nothing like that has ever happened since or before, but that's one of my favorite stories.
You know what, Patrick? I got to tell you, there's a place in Indiana called Whispers Estate. I talk about this all the time. You heard about it?
I've heard about it.
Whispers Estate.
If he's ever heard our show, Sean, there's no chance he can't, because Sean can't stop talking about Whispers
Estate. You're right. Hey, how many cases have you been on where the dead people are screaming at you?
And
everybody can hear it. You know,
right.
It shocks you. You know, it's groundbreaking stuff. So I think you should probably suggest that you guys go out there. There was supposed to be It was kind of the little girl mysteriously, they said, caught fire and all this stuff. There's a lot of dark history with the house. So it's
right.
kind of neat, man.
Oh, I'd love to.
You
I'd
can't
love
be
to
out there more than 5 minutes without hearing arguments.
See, that's crazy.
Oh, it's nuts.
I love locations like that where the activity is it's just so thick you can cut it with a knife.
Out of all the places that you've done the TV show with, right, the places you've gone to, now you know as well as we do as ghost hunters, you're out there in the field, a lot of times it's like watching paint dry.
Yeah.
I mean, it gets boring, brother. Once in a while, you stumble onto a great location.
Yes.
Now, with the TV show, are most of these places haunted or...
That's the thing. That's where the pressure really is on me, because we'll go to these locations, and usually we do the main event, the final segment of the show, at the crime scene.
Right.
Ideally, if we can get to the crime scene itself, that's where my instruments are set up, where a body was recovered, or where the victim was last seen,
right,
or where the attack took place. We try to get set up as close to these locations as possible with the idea that, you know, we might be able to pick up on some energy in that spot.
Sure.
So when we go into these locations, very, very seldom are they already known to be haunted locations.
Right.
I think I can count maybe one or two locations where there have been reports of activity. So I'm kind of going into these locations, in many instances, to the best of my knowledge.
Pressure's on.
Doing the very first paranormal investigation at these spots. So, but I've explained to the network, I said, you know, I am not going to get stuff on every episode. I have a very, very narrow window of opportunity while I'm in there to get activity. I mean, our main event, it's compressed down for television, and you see it, and it takes place in about 8 to 10 minutes.
Right.
We're there in reality for about 2 to 3 hours.
With the boom mic in your face.
With the boom mic in my face, yeah. and with the cameras circling around me.
I know, man.
You know, it's not, unfortunately, you know, I'm not afforded a whole lot of time at these locations. So when I get something, I'm thankful that I get anything.
It could
you know?
Be worse, Patrick. You could be catching crab out on the Bering Sea while you had those cameras in front of you.
Exactly.
So you're doing okay.
Yeah, yeah, right. Hey, I love Deadliest Catch, though. I got to tell you, man.
Good stuff.
Love that show. I have a whole new respect for those guys.
So, Haunting Evidence, when the video game? When's it coming out? There's gotta be one. I want to see a digital Patrick Burr.
Yes, and John Oliver, he's going to take off the sunglasses and his eyes will be rolled back into his head, right? No, probably not. I don't think you're going to see a whole big marketing push for Haunting Evidence. You're probably not going to see T-shirts. You know, I can't say for sure. You know, I'm putting myself out on a limb here. I'll say this, and then, yeah,
hey,
after
we
this
have
season,
a T-shirt. If we can get a T-shirt,
well,
Patrick Burns
you
can
know,
get a T-shirt.
For God's sakes, everybody, get Patrick a T-shirt.
Right, right. I've also asked, you know, people have asked about DVD, and I've never really gotten a final answer that, well, Court TV has never put stuff out on DVD, but now that it's True TV, we might, blah, 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 blah. They're very noncommittal in saying that. But I'm wondering if they're not holding off out of respect to the families. You know, I don't know. That might possibly be it. They don't want to look like they're totally sensationalizing these crimes or exploiting them by, you know, selling merchandise and that sort
it's
of thing.
It's touchy where you're at, bro.
It is.
The
it is.
The show you're doing, like with the other show that's out there at Cypher or whatever, they can pretty much do what they need to do and laugh a little bit.
Right, right, sure.
A lot of places you go to, like you said, it's victims. Your family of victims are still alive.
How much
do you really do with the families of the victims?
We do. We typically, that's one of the things they really try to do is, for most of these episodes, they want to interview at least one family member on camera to tell us, you know, about the victim, about their last, you know, last time they saw them, to get the backstory for that element of the show. And there are many instances where we're videotaping the main event at the end of the show. And the victims' families come out to watch us tape. So literally standing 20 feet behind me is the family. And we're communicating back and forth. And, you know, we always have to be mindful and respectful of this. Because these are families that have suffered an immeasurable loss.
And of course, everybody, we're talking to Patrick Burns from True TV's Haunting Evidence, guys, and then we're a big fan. Those men even heard shows support Patrick Burns and everything.
I appreciate
plus,
it, guys.
Plus, he's a good-looking guy. That's what Nathan said anyway. But this guy's
after
fun.
Looking at you, Sean, all day long, I mean,
he's got beautiful hair.
Thank you.
Hey, Patrick, you got the behind-the-scenes, brother. The stuff we don't see on the boob tube. The stuff we don't see. Any kind of weird stuff happen off?
All the time. All the time. John and Carlo they'll start picking up on stuff immediately, and the camera crews are like, wait, hold on, that's great stuff. We need to make sure that we're rolling before, you know, we don't want this to slip away. Sure, there's a ton of stuff, you know, that never makes it in. You know, but like I said, the pressure really is on me to get activity, and given the limited capacity, you know, unlike, I know Jason and Grant, they say it typically takes them 12 days to film one episode. Our production, they try to get us in and out quickly. I mean, when the show was a half hour long, my work week was typically like this. I would fly out to the location on Monday. We would film all day Tuesday. I fly home on Wednesday. I mean,
go back to work.
Literally, we would knock out these episodes in one day. Now that it's an hour-long episode, they're hour-long episodes, they like to have us out there for at least 2 days. If we're traveling to an exotic location like Europe, you know, they'll stretch it over a few more days as well. But everything else that they need to do, the interviews and whatnot, you know, go on beyond as long as, you know, they have John and Carla there. But I know John and Carla travel extensively, so they really try to get us in and out as quickly as possible so that we're not overlapping on our travel schedules.
Hey, Patrick, Constant Evidence, is that full-time job now, or do you still have to work on the side?
God, you know, I wish I could say that I was making enough from it, that it was a full-time gig. It really is not. My photography business, my fledgling photography business, which I've been doing for about the past year, year and a half now, is really what I'm trying to make my bread and butter, because as we talked about already, there's no real money to be made in the paranormal. I love doing these events. I love going out and meeting the fans and meeting fellow investigators and interacting and working with them and sharing knowledge. But at the end of the day, I still got to pay the bills, you know, and you know, photography can be a very, very lucrative business, and considering the response that I've gotten to my work, you know, I seem to have found a talent.
We were noticing it earlier, and Sean had looked at me and said, boy, I wish I could learn how to do that.
I wish I could teach you. I have no idea what I'm doing.
I love black and white photography. I go to a lot of cemeteries and things.
Yes.
And I'm learning as I go. I just found out about longer exposures look really, really cool.
Yeah, they sure do.
Did you take those, the work you have out on the table?
The work that I have out on the table is all done in infrared. Yeah, they're all infrared photos, which, of course, there's a tie-in there to my work as a paranormal investigator. The infrared photos, of course, you know, infamous in paranormal circles for having amazing apparitions and stuff in there. And the speculation or the hypothesis is that these apparitions manifest in this invisible spectrum of light called infrared, which of course our eyes can't see, but a specially modified camera can pick up. So there was a tie-in there within, you know, doing paranormal investigation, these infrared cameras. But I realized when I wasn't trying to take pictures of ghosts, I could take really pretty pictures of landscapes and the haunted locations that we're investigating.
That's what we were talking about. You spent so much time watching paint dry out at haunted places.
Sure, absolutely.
You got to learn to do something to kill the time.
Totally,
Now, here's what I wanted to ask you too, Patrick. We were saying earlier, obviously you have an eye for photos. You've got your own photography
business
going on.
Wait, that's another show. Oh, you said eye for Never mind.
No, not your favorite show, Sean. I was saying, you have an eye for photos. You're on the show. You are the technical expert. But you're saying a lot of stuff gets cut out. Who decides what gets on the air and what doesn't?
You know, that's a good question, too. John, Carla, and myself have no say whatsoever in the content of the show. People, you know, give us leads on other episodes, other investigations to do constantly. You know, my cousin was murdered 20 years ago. It's an unsolved case. Can you guys possibly consider doing it? And I respond, and we forward all of the leads onto our production company. But I respond to people and I tell them, none of us have any say in the content of the show. None of us have any say in what cases we take on. But we do give, you know, when we get leads, at least I pass the leads on to our production company, and they in turn, alongside with the network, make the determination on what cases we're going to do. But ultimately what goes on the air is up to the producers of the show.
Very cool, Patrick. That is awesome. And I just want to say, like I said before, we love the show.
Thank you, guys.
We love what you're doing, and we wish you all the best on that.
So where can people check you out on the internet, Patrick?
Oh, boy. Okay, I've got a few websites. My MySpace is myspace.com/ghostgeek. My personal website is patrick-burns.com. And if they want to check out my photography, that's at patrick-burns.net.
Patrick-burns.net. And patrick-burns.com is
my professional website. Yeah, with all of the pertinent details on me, where I'm doing appearances, and so on and so forth.
And that's Patrick Burns from Haunting Evidence. It's going to be on True TV, returning this autumn. And thank you so much, Patrick, for joining us.
If you guys want to get a hold of Patrick Burns, guys, patrick-burns.com. Check out his website, guys. Go there and support him. We love you. Thanks for stopping by, brother.
My pleasure.
Hey, and Sean, before we go, I just wanted to remind you there, remind everybody else, since we forgot to say it when we came back, that music you heard before, that was Spectreman. They're performing here live tonight at the Haunted Lincoln Theater in Decatur, Illinois.
They rock, by the way. I've seen them at Dragon Con. I've known Jim, their guitarist, for years. Awesome. Awesome band.
They truly rock. And that was Phone Dry? Or
Phone Dry.
Phone Dry by Spectre Man.
Nice.
And that, and this was Patrick Burns, and we're the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter, and we'll be back right after this.
We are. Stick around, folks.
Patrick's a little mad at us.
Para X Radio, and you.
This is Johnny. Johnny is going to use his computer to contact the spirits. His sister Jenny is very curious and watches. Johnny just typed in www.para-x.com and is now communicating with the dead. You go, Johnny. Jenny is excited because now she can listen to shows like Nightwatch with Todd Sheets, Caps Paranormal Radio with David and Tom, Paranormal Awareness with Bill Metz, Ghostology with Brian and Anna Marie, Leinster Paranormal Radio Show with Danny and Cormac, and the Ghost Divas Live. One day, the world will be a better place when we can all be like Johnny and Jenny and tune into Para X Radio at www.para-x.com. All paranormal, all the time.
This is Robbie Thomas, and you're listening to the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show. Stay tuned, because they rock.
This is the 2008 Haunted America Conference, guys. We are here. We're talking to all the paranormal fat cats in the house. And now I can hear myself. That's pretty nice. Can you guys hear me now? Yeah, man, but we've been sitting here. This is the second day of the event. It's pretty exciting, Nathan.
It's very exciting.
I'm ecstatic. I love it. TT knows how to throw a party, man.
I stopped thinking of these as paranormal conferences anymore, and they're paranormal parties.
Right. Well,
we're just having paranormal parties. We get together with all our friends. Some of us drink a little more than others at the party, but...
Becky Ray and Laura Moon.
Speaking of which, Becky Ray and Laura Moon. The magical unicorns, Becky Ray and Laura Moon, are here with us right now.
Charlie! Let's go to Candyman!
We're going to owe some cat on MySpace a lot of
money. I know. We've been sitting around the conference all for the last 2 days, folks, going, Charlie! We found a map of Candy Mountain, Charlie.
BillCow.com. I'll give him the appropriate plug. BillCow.com.
Patrick Burns from Haunting Evidence, give us a thumbs up on the Charlie.
It's the Leoplordon, Charlie.
That's right.
The magical Leoplordon, Charlie.
He does that so well, it's scary.
I know, but anyway, guys, getting back to work, we talked to some great people. We got the girls here live in the house this weekend. Of course, I'm talking about Becky Ray and Laura Moon of Darker Side of the Moon Radio.
Ow.
What is cracking? What's shaking, hot chicks?
Deja vu.
Just go with it.
What's cracking or what's shaking? Because what's shaking's not cracking.
At this point last time, if you remember right, I wasn't really talking so good.
No, you were not.
Sean was speaking on the darker side of the moon that night.
I did. We were broadcasting from the moon.
We were on the dark side of the moon.
You guys, that was Kenny Bettles. It just touched me, guys. But, you know, you girls come out these conferences, right? You got to work. This year, you've actually got to watch some of it. What's it been like?
Which we have not gotten to do yet this conference.
That's the good thing about not broadcasting. You can actually go see presenters.
And have fun.
Absolutely.
I mean, we have fun. But, you know, enjoy the...
We come by and we say hi and you get to sit here.
Yeah. Hi, guys. Bye. We're going to go have fun.
We're going into the
really cool conference right now.
Did you guys see that... the big coffin that Troy Taylor auctioned off.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Did you go up and touch it? It's like got velvety stuff on the outside.
Yes. That's the one thing I hate
had
about
to do that.
Funerals and stuff like that. I hate the silk and all that.
You do.
So.
I've got a friend that's that way. She hates velvety stuff. She hates silky stuff.
Dude.
I don't get that because I love
magical
it.
Velvet.
It's magical velvet.
Does she wear silk panties?
I don't know.
Okay,
there's a little unicorn in that coffin.
Probably is. Yeah, Nathan was telling me that we were going to have to haul it back on the top of the cold ball.
It's like we got a way to use like bungee cords and duct tape to get it back.
Yeah, with all the stuff. But man, that coffin was cool. It even had the screen on it where they used to. I told Troy, I said, it's so old.
The
they probably
screen.
Displayed somebody in there at one time, you know.
Right. He said they did.
Yeah, last night when he talked about it, he used to have several people in there. It was the coffin they used for people who couldn't afford coffins.
Right. I can't afford one. Maybe I could use it. That's why I just kept my, I'd be like, hey, thanks, if I die, I got my own, you know?
I brought one of those books and build.
That's the reason I wanted it. I just didn't want to have to worry about what I was going to be buried in eventually. I'll just keep it around until my time comes.
Yeah.
Then you're all set.
Yeah.
But like, no. Smells like formaldehyde.
Turpentine, probably. That coffin creeped me out, dude. Did they bring it? How'd they bring it out? Did they carry it out?
Well, they went in. They dug it up.
No, I mean, it looks like it's been buried.
Actually,
it kind of does.
I think it's just been in storage.
Well, you know, they've had all these rainstorms recently, right. Sean, yeah. with like two old graves have been washed up.
Troy just scooped the bones out and said, "Hey guys, look what I got!
I
got this really cool coffin."
It just showed up in his yard one day. He was like, "I got this really cool thing to give away at the next coffin." He gave away Bigfoot. Molding.
Yeah.
You left the room for that.
Dude, are you kidding me?
No. Yep, plaster cast of big footprints.
I'm sitting there. That's what I wanted. I was watching my ticket really close. I was like, I want the 1995.
I never do.
We didn't get squat. I don't even buy tickets
anymore. All 10 years I've been coming to this conference, I never win anything.
I don't think they even put my tickets in the bin. It's like, oh, he donated $5 to it. We're not actually... He's working the conference. We can't let him win. People will think it's fixed.
Laura, I've seen everybody at this conference win something except for me. And Doug usually wins the all the cool gizmos, ghost hunters.
I've never won anything. Yeah.
Well, okay. Me and Becky.
Yeah. I won a wonderful time.
Yes. Huh?
That's really sappy. I said I won a wonderful time. That's bad.
You want a trip to the Ghost Magical
Time. It's a magical time.
Oh, they stole my liver or whatever it was.
They took my kidney.
Yeah.
Took my freaking kidney grains.
So now everybody's a little bit more dumber for us saying this for the last 15 minutes. Anyway,
yes, 3 minutes and 20 seconds of your life you will never get back.
But you will want to lose more. You'll
That's
watch
right.
it over and over. At least I did.
Well, the first time I seen it, of course we're talking about the Charlie and the Magic Mountain, or the Candy
from
Mountain.
FilmCow.com.
Yes. Yes. And it's very cool, guys. It's something popular out on MySpace right now, and I've had to hear it all weekend long.
You're in a bad mood, and you turn Charlie on?
Yes.
Charlie the Unicorn cheers anybody up.
I see somebody with a T-shirt on in Indianapolis that had the unicorn.
They sell the T-shirts. They even got one of the non-believers T-shirts.
Yeah, the non-believers. We need those. Is it loud?
Yeah, now I hear it.
You hear?
I didn't hear it before.
So, Sean's always playing with my buttons and switches, so...
And everything else.
Too bad this is radio.
I like to play with buttons, too. I like to feel important. But hey, guys, what's going on with Darker Side of the Moon Radio? What's happening out there?
We have a birthday coming up.
We do. We've got our anniversary show coming up in a couple of months. About a month.
Yeah, about a month.
How many years?
Two or three. I don't remember.
Three.
Yeah. How do you keep it together for 3 years?
We really need to know because we're having problems.
Without
Sean and I are going to counseling right now to try and work them out. It's,
coming up on that 3-year itch.
I've had an itch ever since I met Sean.
Listen,
we
guys.
We don't want to know where that itch is.
This just did. Doug from Ghostly Talk Radio asked me for my autograph. I think I've made it since.
You have finally made it, Sean. No, you're coming up on 3 years on Darkest Side of the Moon, and you're still on Thursday nights, right?
Still on Thursday nights. We did move our time up a little bit, but it's been the same since January, so. But same night, same bad time, same bad channel.
You know, the
same
thing that we've
Batgirl
really...
outfit.
Yeah.
That we've really enjoyed, though, is Blog Talk.
Yeah,
the big
cast
is so much fun.
Having really the video with the chat room.
We've added a couple of wacky characters
it's
to
really
the show.
Added to the show.
Yeah.
Up a bunch of listeners even that just find us.
What is this?
It's a video. It's a chat room that's got video, so we have our webcams on.
We have webcams.
So while we're chatting during the show, you can either listen to us on KarmaCast, or you can go and if you click on the chat link on our page, it will take you to the video as well. The video is right next to the chat.
Oh wow!
We were actually looking at doing that, Sean, but we couldn't figure out how to do it.
Yeah.
So.
We bought webcams, and then my computer crashed.
It's actually pretty simple. We can help you.
Freaking crazy.
It got dark. They don't want us here anymore. How come every time you ladies sit at our table, the lights start going?
You know what we haven't talked about, ladies?
What is that?
It's the Abraham Lincoln picture.
The creepy Abraham Lincoln. We talked about him a lot last time.
He's staring.
He's still
That's all I could
focus staring.
That's all I could focus on last time.
Well, you know what creeps me out is when I see that picture, I always think it's my grandfather.
He looked like Abe Lincoln?
Yeah, he's an ancestor of mine.
Oh, really?
My grandfather looked a lot like him.
Wow.
Did he have the big hairy mole?
Yeah.
I just want to know who thought Lincoln would be honored by having a theater named after him. I mean, out of all things.
And enough to put his picture in it.
Yeah.
You know, oh, that's low. That's really low, Nate.
Yeah.
I just got it. A little slow, but I think it's good.
The maybe theater. Okay. Instead.
You know what would have been really bad if they would have named the second floor balcony after him. But anyway, guys, we got
the comments of Sean Burris do not represent those of Ghostman and Demon Hunter or their affiliates.
You know, you couldn't hear that here, but it was right. A typical comment.
I know what it is.
But it was important. You just couldn't hear it. But man, it's a beautiful day here in Decatur.
Yes, it is.
Trying to talk to girls in here from Darker Side to go out and go swimming with us. But they hey! But they won't go swimming with us.
I will.
Okay.
Becky will.
They're
worried. I've been saying that all afternoon. I want to get to the hotel.
I've just
been
past Sean's drink.
I do. I want to hit the pool.
I've been saying that all afternoon.
I want to hit the pool.
So, ladies, I just wanted to ask you, since I've been handling the drink here, what was it like to party in Decatur last night?
Well, last call at 12:30, there wasn't much of a party.
I know.
Oh, my goodness.
We had enough time to drink one drink, and that was it.
Yeah. I guess they were supposed to be open to 1, but because of the overcrowding of the bar.
Right. They said they had some very rowdy people, which actually, amazingly, wasn't any of us.
I know.
How weird is that?
We were just allowed people that afterwards they came out and asked us to quiet down.
Yeah. Security had to come over and tell us to be quiet.
I had some fun last night. I had a couple. It was pretty rough there for the first couple of hours this morning, but and they're out of Guinness.
See,
apparently the whole city of Illinois, or I'm sorry, the city. The city of Illinois, you ever been there? It's a pretty big place.
What state is that in? Decatur.
It's in the state of Decatur. It's a whole other country.
And Sean is in a state of confusion.
It's all just a state of mind.
Come to the town of Illinois. Think big.
I do not believe that there is
the
no
Ghostman and Demon Hunter rewrite the maps of America. Come and take the Ghostman and Demon Hunter course in geography and fail every class. You've never
children
needed to
fail for
in mathematics.
Years.
Well, he knew history about Abe Lincoln, so I guess he's one up.
Yeah.
Well, he knew Abe was.
Abe Lincoln. Everybody knows Abe Lincoln. No, but I always see that picture. Actually, I asked Toya, I wanted a copy.
Uh-huh.
I wanted a copy. But apparently they had no hairbrushes back then. You ever notice no Honest Davis hair?
His tie's crooked.
I know. And it's and that's like one of the famous pictures, his tie's crooked.
You know, if you're going to get your picture taken as president, straighten the tie.
For God's sakes.
I don't
for
think
God's
he looked
sake,
in a mirror.
Pull your hair and straighten the tie.
Did they have mirrors back then?
Yes.
Well, they had people to look at.
They had
somebody
reflecting cons.
Did they have mirrors?
Yeah,
actually, Lincoln was a very depressed man.
You know, I heard about that. Actually, Troy wrote that book about the ghost or the hauntings.
I interviewed somebody that. Actually, it was the book was The Psychic Life of Abraham Lincoln.
And his wife. I mean, he had a lot to do with losing kids. His wife was kind of had a lot
off
to do with
balance. They were into spiritualist movement.
Right.
And he had mustache kept running away.
He had mediums in the White House.
Do you think? Do you think he haunts the White House? Hey,
do I?
Yeah.
I don't know. I've never been there myself, but I know people always talk about something going on in the Lincoln bedroom.
Right.
So who knows?
And the black cat down in the basement of the White House and all that stuff. Yeah, but nobody can ever tell you. And the presidents aren't going to come out and say, you know, I woke up last night and Abe was at the foot of my bed.
You know, well, there was a president who said that.
Was it?
Oh, now I wish I could remember which president it was.
What president said it?
I don't know.
Okay, dead air.
Dead air, yeah.
At least hear the murmur in the background, so it's not completely dead air.
This is where I need my fart machine.
Where's your bell? Ding, ding.
I left it all
in the like
Sean said, Nathan, don't forget any of the equipment this time.
And he forgot his bell.
Then he came and picked me up and said, I forgot everything.
Here goes Rosemary Ellen Galley, everybody. She just walked by. Hi, Rosie.
Rosemary.
But actually, Keith Age is on the stage now. I don't know who all the speakers are going to be up there tonight, but we were actually out on the curb. I was talking to Keith from the Louisville Ghost Hunters Society, the founder, CEO, whatever.
Uh-huh.
And he was out there. I said, what are you going to talk about when you get up there? He goes, I said, what do you mean? He goes, I like to do it on the go. I said, when are you going to think something up? He said, well, I'm walking up the steps to do the thing. But these people, they're killing me. I love the speakers, though. This is great. You got, man, Keith Age from Children of the Great. You got Becky Ray and Laura Moon here.
We weren't speakers. We're just partiers.
Yeah, but you guys are partying, and you guys are from Darker Side of the Moon Radio, and that's the good thing about these conferences, because if these people, there's a lot of guys that listen to us.
that they can't come out, they can't meet you guys a lot of times, they can't travel.
Very true.
And when they come out to these places, if they can get away 2 hours, 3 hours, they can meet you guys. They can sit down here and talk to us.
Some people say y'all twins.
Go to the bar.
Yeah. Some people seem to think we look alike.
And the twins.
Well, I can see from behind.
For anyone that doesn't know, last night, Nathan thought Laura was me.
So, I'm not, no.
No, we're not going anywhere with that. Kind of really cheesy.
I put the joke out there.
Put the joke out there. Let your dream mind take it wherever you want to go.
On the fly.
Somebody else said, you're our Becky Ray, are you?
No. Yeah. I was thinking I could go out and just do some really crazy stuff because everybody thinks Laura's me.
Right.
So they're like, well, Becky Ray was just sitting there being sweet and innocent all the time. Yeah. Was that crazy right
You now? Could rob banks and be like her.
I have an alibi. I was sitting there.
What do you guys doing?
I was at the Haunted Lincoln Theater in Decatur, Illinois.
I have an alibi.
What have you guys been doing along the lines of paranormal? Because doing this show, I don't get out much anymore.
Yeah.
Are you guys still doing investigations?
Oh, we're still doing investigations, yeah. Yeah. We've got some really cool places.
What group are you with? Or is it just
Paranormal Activity Investigators, Kansas City Mo.
Is that you and Laura's, or is that just
Laura's in the group too?
Okay.
Yes. I'm a newbie.
Really?
Laura recently joined.
Yes. I'm okay. A newbie all the way.
That's awesome. That's all. Because I didn't know you guys still got out there.
Yeah, ghost-investigators.com.
Oh, yeah. What's your craziest story from doing this weird ghost stuff? Craziest. What's
crazy
the craziest?
Crazy like something cool happened, or crazy like that was
crazy
hilarious?
Like a fox.
Crazy like that was really fun.
Okay. All right. Well, guys, I'm getting that little sign that says wrap it up. So
we'll have to save it for next time.
Absolutely.
Maybe we'll have better stories.
But we love you guys.
We love you too.
I can't wait to come here and see you guys each time. And remember to listen to Darker Side of the Moon Radio with Becky Ray and Laura Moon on Thursday nights at
DarkerSideRadio.com.
Oh, that's all right. 9 p.m. Eastern.
8 Central.
That's awesome.
On Karmacast Radio.
Karmacast.com.
You guys got to listen, especially go to the archive page where they have me and Nathan on.
Yes,
that was a great show.
Yes, as always, those are great shows.
I tell you what, we can't do a show together because we sit there and talk. Constantly.
We'd have to make it like a 4-hour show.
Remember last time that new people were coming in for like a wedding or something?
Right.
We're sitting here with the only table.
They're turning all the lights off on us. Everybody else is cleaned out. And we're still sitting here. Yak, yak, yak.
What do you guys want to
do? Uh-huh. And we're doing it again.
Yeah. And that is the business we've chosen.
We work on radio. We don't know how to shut up. The only way you can shut us up is to turn the mic off.
Right. Yeah, really.
Believe me, that's right.
There it goes.
Thank
you,
Ray
and Laura. Thank you guys for coming and joining us here. And I'm sure we're going to party. Can we get out earlier tonight so we can be at the bar longer?
Maybe go swimming, too.
I just got their card with their phone numbers on it.
We love you guys. Everybody, that was Becky Ray and Laura Moon from Darker Side of the Moon Radio.
And we'll be right back after this.
Stay tuned.
This is Doug.
And this is Scott L. from Ghostly Talk.
Reminding you to tune in to Ghostly Talk on Sundays from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
Heck yeah, Doug. Visit Ghostly Talk at www.ghostlytalk.com. One of the world's premier paranormal talk shows.
Totally, Scott. Download hundreds of free show archives. Read the world's latest paranormal news. And be sure to visit our forums.
Pimping the grassroots paranormal community since 2002.
Dead air never sounded so good on Ghostly Talk.
Hello, darling. This is Elvira, Mistress of the Dark, and you're listening to the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show.
Oh my goodness, everybody. Welcome back. 2008 Haunted America Conference. Guys, we are here. Troy Taylor's the host. Of course, we're at the beautiful Lincoln Haunted Lincoln Theater in beautiful Decatur, Illinois.
And joining us for the wrap-up of this incredible event is the Ghostman and Demon Hunter and Ghostly Talk support ho, Bonnie Jo.
Yes.
And our buddy, our pal, our friend, Ken Biddle, who is, like, sticking a magnet on his head. He must have, like, a metal plate in there.
Well, we got Kenny B. Then. Of course, Kenny Biddle, brother. He's the author of three great books right now. You got The Gettysburg Experience, you got Orbs or Dust, which is my personal favorite, and you got The Guide to Paranormal Investigations. Kenny Biddle, Buddy Joe in the house. What's going on, guys?
I hate you both.
I love you both.
That's all I have to say.
Tell me
thank
you love
good
me,
night.
Bonnie, or I'll do the voice.
I love you, Nathan.
Are we playing some kind of drinking game? Because Kenny's got like a card stuck to his head right now. I don't know what's going on here.
Drink till you can read it.
Is it a psychic thing?
Drink till you can read it.
Am I supposed to see
yeah,
that?
He's reading cards, can't you tell?
He is. I've actually been talking to everybody, folks, because, see, this is the thing that you guys should know. G&D Show listeners, Ghost Talk listeners around the world, and Kenny Big B fan, Kenny B. I was a Kenny G. Kenny Biddle. And all you Kenny G fans out there, I get a little something for you to listen to right now. No, but seriously, I'm trying to talk everybody into hitting the pool with me and Nathan a little bit later, guys. And this is what you guys miss out on. If you could get off your booties and get in here, you could actually hang out with us, go get a steak and hang out in the pool.
Yeah. With Sean and Nathan.
With author Kenny Biddle and the beautiful, seductive Bonnie Doe's Porto of the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show.
Obviously been drinking already today.
You know, I saw Sean on a Speedo yesterday.
That's true.
Did you really?
They didn't help me speed.
Hey, Sean, what was
they helped me go, oh.
What was the beer of the week this week?
The beer of the week, little brother, was, we're going to go ahead and say Mickey's Big Mouth. Mickey's Big Mouth, it's a unique malt liquor, of course. It's got the hornet on the bottle. It's a little green bottle. It's pretty good stuff. Good.
And even though I couldn't smoke during the show today because the show lasted 2 days indoors, the cigar of the week was the Punch cigar. So
Punch. Like so. Punch de Leon.
Okay.
What?
Yeah. Found in America.
God.
I gotta stop just agreeing with Sean because I gotta remember he's always
you know
wrong.
He built the Empire State Building.
Oh my God.
Where's his
Punch de Leon?
Do you have that with you, Nathan?
Punch.
The comments of Sean Burris do not represent those of Ghostman and Demon Hunter or their affiliates.
And over here to our left, we have the beautiful Tanya. Of course, Tanya from the Spiro Productions. She's so gorgeous. She's sitting here eating popcorn, actually, with me starving to death, which is a beautiful day.
Quite seductively, but, I might
I'll
say.
Choke.
She's
I'll choke
popcorn.
Now on the air. That'd be my luck. I'll be like, goodbye, everybody.
I hear you choke often, but that's besides the point.
So anyway, guys, we are here to Lincoln. We survived 2008. I don't know when we will be back out of here, but this is like a huge family reunion. We love being out here with you guys. What's going on with you, Kenny? Let's start with you. Let's open up. What's new with Kenny Biddle?
Let's see. I'm working on expanding the Orbs of Dust book. That's my main topic right now. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to get... I got enough for an entire new chapter.
Right.
A whole new book. And I'm working on that.
Where can a fellow that's interested in writing a book steal your material at? Or let me rephrase it. Where can I see that?
Well, I'm just going to go ahead and finish the book and just put your name right on the cover. I'll just do it for you.
Okay, you can put your name on the cover, Kenny. Just send him the royalty check.
Yes.
There you go.
Yeah. Put Ken Burris on there. Kenny Burris.
Did you guys get married last night, too?
And changed Donna's name to Burris, of course. Oh, look. Look who it is. She came out of hiding. But anyway, guys, what's up with you next, man? You say you got the book going down. Anything else?
That's it. Well, the next conference is going to be the Mid-South Conference.
Yes.
Are
we still calling that a conference? I'm pretty sure
you
guys
should just call it a party.
In.
It's our premiere.
Yeah.
We're going to premiere the American...
You're famous.
Dr. Don's American Spirit Summit. And...
You guys are famous.
Nathan will be in the movie this time.
No, that's my evil twin.
Right.
I had nothing to do with this film. That was Drake Schoonover.
Yes.
He was on a bed.
Nathan are going to be in it.
Both of them are in it. It's crazy.
My name's Jerry.
Jerry. South End.
That's right. Jerry.
Towards.
Jerry's the guy that does all these bad things.
Bonnie dear, how did you enjoy the conference this time around?
Yes, Bonnie, tell us. I want to know.
Let me see.
Come on.
How can I put this appropriately? No, I love all the conferences, and I love seeing my friends.
Yeah.
And
tell us another lie.
I love the fact that we all get a little grab assy with one another. That really
hey, you can't
it.
Say ass in the air.
A little?
Yeah, okay, you can. That's biblical.
We get a lot grab assy with one another. I'm just going to say it.
I think Sean's touched me more than my wife has.
Well,
I actually, because we've been manning the tables and whatnot, I haven't had a chance to see any of the speakers, but I've seen a lot of them before.
Well,
so.
You've never seen them on stage. You've seen a lot of them backstage.
Hey, what did you think about that seance last night?
It was interesting. We were standing backstage, and the lights kept dimming, and
The legs. The lights?
I was upstairs.
Yes, the legs kept dimming.
I was upstairs during it, and I actually thought somebody was standing behind one of the metal doors. I kept seeing feet move behind the door.
Mm.
The shadow of feet, anyway. And so I ran over, and I thought somebody was locked in the stairwell on the second floor and on the balcony. And I opened the door, and there was nobody there. So I went around to the steps, looked down. There was nobody in the steps. There was no way they could have gotten out.
Mm-hmm.
So, fortunately, the door did shut behind me, and I was able to get out anyway.
Good.
Because after going to save somebody, I realized I locked myself in there, but...
Did you guys win anything in the raffle the other day? Nathan didn't win the coffin.
Nothing.
He was upset.
I was very upset. I wanted that coffin.
He's in depression.
So did I. I wanted that.
What would you have been able to get it home?
I was going to duct tape it to the top of Sean's car.
The coal boat. Chevy Cobalt.
That'd be hot.
I would have set it on my front porch.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be hot. For just all the time. The kids come up there. Hi, kids. Come on in. Oh, and look, there is Kenny B's beautiful wife, Donna.
Hi, honey.
Donna, how are you doing?
Doing fine, thanks.
Beautiful. Thank you for being here. I got to bring the wife in.
I heard that many times.
Yeah. He usually tries to bring as many in as he can get.
We're going
to
party tonight, guys. Kenny's going to teach me how to write a book, Donna. I'll just be sleeping with you guys for about 6 months.
Yeah, but don't worry, you won't feel a thing.
I wear my Superman t-shirt. No, but anyway,
your
guys.
Your Superman underoos.
Who do you think was your favorite speaker this weekend at the conference?
I didn't get to see him.
Okay, well, guess.
So, my favorite speaker was the Ghostman and Demon Hunter.
Yay. We didn't speak much, but someday, someday we might be able to. I don't know. There's who was yours, Kenny?
I would probably have to say the Ghost Divas. I like what they had to say.
Ghost Divas?
Yeah, they really they concentrated more on common sense. Yeah. And that's what I like.
Was that who was just up there?
No, they were on before that.
Okay, and of course, Ghost Divas, beautiful, lovely ladies of the paranormal, got their own little radio show thing going on. That's ghostdivas.com, I think, but just Google Ghost Divas. I'm sure you'll find something, so.
Nobody seems to know exactly, so we're just going to go with that. If we're wrong, we're sorry. But hey, Sean, you know what? I'm afraid it's about time that we wrap up.
But guys, we will get Kenny B. Biddle back. Kenny B. Kenny G. We'll get Kenny G. back on the air for you. No, guys, Kenny Biddle.
Back.
We're going to get you back on the show for you. And beautiful Bonnie Joe, thanks for stopping by, guys. We love you.
We love you.
And Sean, while we're here, we might as well take this opportunity to thank everybody for joining us this week for the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show.
Absolutely, little brother. And this guy, this is going to conclude our 2008 American Conference Tour thing. Haunted America. Yeah, we've been here all week for you guys. And so go check out our forums. We really want to hear from you guys, man. Log on at www.ghostanddemon.com.
And join us next week, which will be June 20. I should have checked this before I went on the air. That will be June 29th. We don't know exactly who's going to be on yet, but I can guarantee you it's going to be great.
It's going to be a hot one, guys. Hey, don't go changing, Ghost Hunters. You know we won't. We love you.
That's right. Good night, everybody.
Good night from Decatur, guys.
So say good night to the bad guys.